Hello, and we'd like to welcome you again to our online services today. We pray they've been a blessing to you. Let's pray that they will continue to be so. Father God, I thank you for this privilege that we have to be able to meet together this way. We pray that you will bless us in this portion of our service as we open up your word together. It is such a privilege that so many of us have access to copies readily available to us, that we can open the word, we can read from that word, and we can meditate upon it. But it's also a special blessing whenever we can share in it together in some manner. So thank you for that opportunity today. Pray that you'll bless us as we try to do that, as we try to discern, to grasp your truth, to apply it in ways that will be a blessing to others, will bring you glory, and will be a praise to your name. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus, the living word, the word made flesh, for giving his life that we can have this life with you. In his name, amen. Mother's Day. Wow, who would have thought that we'd be celebrating it in the way that we are this morning? At Calvary Christian Church, traditionally, we would certainly meet on Mother's Day, being a Sunday, the Lord's Day, and we would be honoring God first and foremost, but also we would be giving some honor to mothers. Those mothers who would be assembled with us, we would normally give some tokens of affection, some gifts that showed our appreciation for their examples as godly mothers, as mothers who are doing their best for their children. Obviously, we can't do that this year. Can't gather, can't give those gifts to them personally. So what our leaders decided to do, in lieu of that, we gave the monies that we would have spent for those gifts and donated those monies to the Women's Crisis Center at Rockford Rescue Mission, in hopes again that mothers there will be blessed. And again, it's in your honor that we honor them. Hope that that's pleasing to you. I've entitled my lesson for today, Mother Wants Best. Mother Wants Best. Some of you might recall a television program from way back, a long, long time ago, called Father Knows Best. This lesson is called Mother Wants Best. It's inspired by a story that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. As you're turning there, I'll give you some background. The followers of Jesus, believe it or not, were a pretty childish lot at times. They engaged more than once in arguments about who among them was the teacher's pet, who was the greatest among them. You can read accounts of that in Matthew 18 and in Luke 22 and other places as well. It seemed like something that kept surfacing, this discussion among them, this argument, this debate among them about who was Jesus' favorite. I can almost hear them. I'm his favorite, or Jesus likes me best. Sounds like kids, doesn't it? Or maybe it was more accusatory. Maybe looking at Peter, who seemed to be so often the center of attention, to say, well, obviously the Lord favors you. Jealousy can fuel those kind of thoughts. So can fear and insecurity. The disciples were painfully aware that Jesus' ministry was changing. In the verses just preceding the text we're going to look at, he told them he was about to be killed. And it wasn't the first time he said that. And if that was the case, where would that leave them? He told them he was going to set up his kingdom. So as they thought about that, they must have thought, well, okay, the kingdom's going to be established and then Jesus is going to die. Where's that going to leave us? They had no idea how things would unfold. Perhaps they might have thought it would be best to use whatever leverage that they might have to get a foothold for what was about to come. That may be what's motivating what happens in this text in Matthew 20, verse 20 through 23. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, and if you don't recall who Zebedee's sons are, that's James and John, those fishermen, came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. We read in verse 21, he asked, What is it you want? She replies, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now, her sons are not little boys. Remember, these are fishermen. These are working men. Certainly they could speak for themselves, but here's their mom representing their case. Now, it's pretty unusual for someone to list a parent as a reference on a resume. I have received resumes where that's been done, but that's very unusual. Why? Because parents, and particularly mothers, can be very biased toward their children, can they not? How many moms have had a word with a coach or a school teacher if they think their child is being treated unfairly? Any moms out there who've done that? Why isn't my Jimmy pitching? He's been doing really well at practice. Or why wasn't Sally picked for that role in the play? She's just as good for the part, if not better, than that other girl who you did pick. Mothers sometimes do that. And should mom get wind that their kid is being picked on or being bullied at school, well, look out. And when it comes to discipline that is being handed down perhaps to their children, I've handled more than one complaint from mothers who accuse me of playing favorites or being racist or worse because their child didn't get rewarded as some other children did. Or they didn't deserve, they would think, the discipline that they got. They thought it was unfair. Now, hear me. I'm not criticizing those mothers who are quick to defend their kids or plead their case. I'm not criticizing them. That's what moms do, isn't it? Well, why do moms do that? Because mothers want what's best for their kids. They don't want them to be mistreated or to be denied whatever rewards or benefits that they believe they have coming. Perhaps even if they don't come close to qualifying for them, they still kind of want their kids to have those benefits, those rewards. Moms can be like that. Mothers want their kids to be happy and healthy. They want their kids to do well in school and to succeed in life, to prosper in business and have meaningful, wholesome relationships. They want their kids to have the best in life, the very best that life has to offer. They want that. They want what's best for their children. So the mother of James and John in our text intercedes on their behalf. She does that. Why? She wants what's best for them. And what's interesting is her boys are fine with her doing that. Can I tell you that surprises me a bit? Most sons might be telling their mom, butt out, mom. Don't embarrass me in front of my friends. Don't go there. Yet the text says they were right there with her when she asked for them to be promoted in the kingdom that would come. Now maybe she's been insistent with them. Maybe she said, you know, I'm going, whether you like it or not. You might as well come with me. Maybe she's done that. Or maybe her boys were willing to let mom do this because they'd seen how responsive Jesus could be to requests that were made by other mothers in his ministry. They might even have seen that and encouraged their mom to do it. Because there are several instances recorded in the Gospels when Jesus complied to earnest pleas from mothers whose children were ill. And even one where he was so touched by the grief of a mother in Nain who had lost her son that he raised the boy back to life and presented him to his mother. And of course, he also responded, had he not, to his own mother's request to help with a wine shortage at a wedding reception in Cana. So having seen all that, have experienced all that, perhaps they're willing now for mom to intercede for them and she's eager to do so. Why is she eager to do so? She's a mom. I want you to think on that for a few minutes. The Lord only knows how many times your mother interceded for you, pleading with Jesus for you to have a place in his kingdom. Oh, she might not have been asking for, you know, some prime seats to his right and left, but just for a seat in heaven at the Father's table, just for a place there. I know that my mother often prayed for me, often did. Now, it's not that I was the worst of kids, but I certainly wasn't the best. She said on many occasions that I was an accident waiting to happen and warned me not to take silly risks, but I didn't always listen. She picked me up and she patched me up after crashing my bike and stood by me in the ER years later after I crashed my first new car. She intervened at God's throne for me many times. Many times, I'm sure, that I'm not even aware of. And not just for my physical welfare. She prayed for my spiritual welfare. She prayed for my soul before I even first accepted Christ and began to follow him. And I know that later on she prayed for me because I strayed from the care of the Good Shepherd. I'm quite sure at least some of her gray hairs testified to her many fervent prayers on my behalf. The mother of James and John likely had a few gray hairs herself. They weren't called the sons of thunder for being perfect little angels. She interceded for her boys, I'm sure, many more times than the one that is recorded here. But here we have her interceding for her sons. Now, when she does that, I doubt that either she or her sons expected the response that Jesus gave. Picking up in verse 22 of our text, he says, "You don't know what you're asking." Then it appears, turning his attention to them, to the boys, Jesus asks, "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" Now, in context, they knew that the cup he was talking about was a cup of suffering he would endure. Remember, I said, just prior to this, he told them that he was going to suffer and die. But even knowing that, even putting those thoughts together and comprehending what he's talking about, they still quickly answered, "We can." Really? I can imagine Jesus thinking at least that they still didn't have a clue, that they still didn't get it. They still didn't know what they were asking for, still didn't get it. But Jesus says in verse 23, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared for by my Father." See, so what they wanted would not, could not be granted just because of a mother's plea. Jesus says only the Father in heaven can grant such a request as they were asking. And the fact that they would even let their mom ask such a thing not only didn't accomplish what they'd hoped for, it stirred up some trouble in the ranks. Remember, there's already been some quarrels over who's the greatest, who does Jesus favor. And verse 24 says, when the 10, that's the other disciples, heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must become your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So, Perhaps the followers of Jesus weren't literally listening in, eavesdropping, but they did get word of what had been said and what had transpired, and they were upset. Why? Why were they so upset? Maybe because they were thinking, look at them trying to do an end run. Look at them trying to get ahead of us. Look at that. And to use their mom in that way, to utilize her. Or maybe they were thinking, boy, I wish we'd have thought of that. I wish I'd have sent my mom. I wish she was here to intercede for me, maybe. I just in some respects, because we're speculating a bit here, but all of them, every one of them, James, John, and the 10, they're having trouble understanding, grasping what it means to have such a place of leadership in the kingdom. That there are characteristics, there are qualities that Jesus is looking for in leaders in his kingdom, for people in his kingdom. Earlier in Matthew 18, I referred to that at the beginning of the lesson, Jesus used a little child as an example of the kind of humility and simple trust that is required to enter the kingdom. The disciples had asked, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he had a little child come and stand with him, and he said, unless you are like this little child, you won't even enter into it. Now, here Jesus is saying something more. The disciples weren't having the childlike qualities he was saying they needed. Instead, they were being childish, and the characteristics, these qualities of humility and trust, were eluding them. And right now, Jesus says then, if one wants to be in the kingdom and exalted in the kingdom, they must have the attitude of a servant. A servant. Even saying, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Wow. That's upside down thinking when we talk about places of authority, isn't it? It occurs to me that just as Jesus had called the child up in Matthew 18 as an example of humility and trust, perhaps he could have even called the mother of James and John up and had her stand there as an example of servitude and sacrifice. I mean, why do we think our mothers are so great? What is it that makes them great? Isn't it because of the way they've served and sacrificed for us? Isn't it? Haven't they put us before themselves? Haven't they even risked humiliation for our sakes time and again? And isn't that why we exalt them? Isn't that why we call them great? Yet Jesus didn't use their mother, or anyone else's mother for that matter, as an example here of service and sacrifice. No, he used himself. He used himself. Well, why would he do that? For no one ever demonstrated more humility in service than Christ has. No one. He surrendered the glory of heaven to come and live in poverty among men. Why would he do that? He did that for us. He sacrificed and he served for us. He who had no sin became the sacrifice for sin. Why would he do that? He served and he sacrificed for us. He who deserved all honor and glory was shamed and disgraced. Why would he allow that to happen? He served and he sacrificed for us. He who others should have bowed down to and served, lowered himself to serve. Why? For us. For us. The text actually says that Jesus would give his life as a ransom for many. He paid the price to have us freed from the bondage of sin and death through his death on the cross. And that brings things into proper perspective, I believe. Today we should honor mothers who prayed for us. We need to honor more the one who paid for us. I'll say that again. It's proper today to honor mothers who have prayed for us, but it is more proper for us to honor the one who paid for us. And again, I'm talking about Jesus. So when we think about that, with all that in mind, though the command is to honor all mothers, even if for no other reason than they birthed us, it's Christ-like mothers whom I especially want to honor today. My guess is that there are some mothers who have interceded for their children, who have served and sacrificed for their children, perhaps even laid down their lives for their children, who didn't realize they were modeling Jesus in the process. But whether they realized it or not, they were. I'm so very, very thankful for those mothers who have knelt and prayed, interceding for their children, asking Jesus to grant their children places in the kingdom. There's nothing better that a mother could ever want for their children than that, for their children to have a place in the kingdom of God. So can I ask mothers today to do something? If you haven't already done that. I mean, if you've interceded for your children about every other thing, but you've not interceded for your children concerning their eternal home in heaven, then could I urge you to do that? And let your children know you're doing it. Don't do it to be seen necessarily, but let your children know you are praying for them. You're praying for not just their health and wealth, but for their eternal welfare, for a home in heaven. And if you haven't made that petition for yourself, I certainly would urge you to do that. I would urge you to, on bended knees before Jesus, appeal to the one who gave his life as a ransom for you and for me, for our children, to appeal to him, to go to him. I'm so thankful for mothers, godly mothers, especially Christ-like mothers. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, the scripture tells us, even right now, interceding for us. He's interceding for us. What a Christ-like thing then for a mother to intercede for her children. When you've done that, maybe you didn't realize just how much like Jesus you were being at the time. But I thank God for those mothers who follow his example to intercede for their children, to pray for their children, to petition for their children about all things, but particularly about the thing that matters most, about a place for them with Jesus in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this time together. I pray that you would bless mothers, especially today. There are mothers of all kinds of different situations and circumstances, but I know mothers are really struggling now, maybe more than they have in the past, sometimes because they can't be with their children, sometimes because there are separations and alienations that are caused for any number of other reasons. There are some mothers who are heavy-hearted. There are some children who are heavy-hearted because, well, they missed their moms. Or maybe they didn't have the blessing of the relationship with the mom that you intended for one reason or another. And I just pray, God, that you would bless us all today. I may not be a mom, but I'm interceding for my children as fathers should. But I want to intercede too and just Ask you to bless moms in a very special way today with your peace and your comfort. Father, the knowledge that you love them and that you want for them to have a place with you in heaven as well as their children. So Father, thank you. Thank you for making that possible. Thank you for Jesus paying the price, for being the ransom that we needed so that we can indeed do that one day. Thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Happy Mother's Day.